All right, let's get started. Thank you all for coming, especially since this is the last session on the last day. You guys might not know me, but as far as I'm concerned, you're all my best friends. So my name is Angelos Petropoulos, and big surprise, I'm originally from Greece. I moved to the UK to study, where I got my bachelor's and master's in software engineering. And if you're wondering why I wasted my time getting a master's in software engineering, it's because I really wanted to come to the US one day and work, and that really helps with that process. So here I am, working in Visual Studio Diagnostics, being the product manager, the program manager for IntelliTrace. How many of you out of this room have used IntelliTrace before or are familiar with it? So quite a few people. Okay, that's great. I just want to make sure that everybody gets exactly what they expect out of this session. So I want to briefly mention that IntelliTrace is a debugging feature for managed code. That means we don't support C++ right now. And even though you can download RC of Visual Studio 2015 right now, and you can play with all of the features, including IntelliTrace, so you'll be able to replicate exactly what I show you today, when we hit RTM, IntelliTrace is going to be part of the enterprise queue. So be warned, if you stay until the end of the session, you will really hate debugging anything else other than managed code in enterprise. You're buying that, huh? Okay, all right. Mandatory slide. If you guys like what you see and you want to see me again in the future, please let me know that you liked it so that they will invite me back. I don't just force myself. So this session is going to be about how can IntelliTrace help you to be more productive during your daily debugging. If you're writing code, you're also fixing it. At least I have never seen a job posting that says C# developer needed to write new code. Don't worry about fixing it. We have another guy for that, right? So often you're asked to fix a bug in an application where you can work in small increments, make a few changes, and very quickly test out your changes. And that's great because you can very quickly figure out if something goes wrong, it's probably what I just changed. But I find that's typically the exception to the rule. Usually, something else is happening. Usually, I'm being asked to fix a bug, maybe in a part of the application that I didn't write, because I'm working in a team, and one of my colleagues wrote it. So I'm not really sure how that part of the application works. Or I need to fix a bug that takes 10 or 15 minutes to set up, to make it ready to replicate. And then I do the stupid thing of stepping over rather than stepping into, and I break my keyboard, and you know I get all frustrated. Or I just joined a new team or a new project, and I don't know the code base very well. And I want to be productive. I don't want anybody to think I don't know how to code. I just don't understand the application yet. I just need some time to learn it. Or it might be my own code, but I wrote it a long time ago. And I don't know about you guys, but whenever I look back at code I wrote in the past, I always think, who wrote that? That's stupid. I wouldn't do it that way. So again, you might have different thoughts. Or it might be one of those bugs that some users are reporting it, or you're seeing it in a test environment, but it's really hard to replicate it on your local machine. Or you don't know exactly how it happens. You click around a lot, and you do a lot of things, and by the end of it, it's broken. But you don't really know how you got there. So out of curiosity, who here has never had to deal with any of this? Nobody. Okay, good. Excellent. So at least you can see the value here. Now, there's one more way that we can help you be more efficient while you're debugging, other than just fixing bugs like that. You will also be able to spot unexpected behavior, even if you're not looking for it. And that sounds a bit like magic right now, but I'll show you exactly how that works. And trust me, it really helps when you fix a bug before somebody files it. So how this session is going to play out is, very quickly, I'm going to explain what IntelliTrace can do. Then we're going to dive into a demo, where we're going to compare what it's like to fix the same bug with IntelliTrace and without it. So during this demo, I'm actually going to be using IntelliTrace as if you all know how it works. I'm not going to stop and explain every UI element and everything that I'm clicking on, because what I want you to take away from it is, are you convinced that it's actually saving you time? And if we spend 15, 20 minutes talking to everything, you're not going to take that away from it. So we're going to go rather quickly through that. But the key takeaway from that is not exactly how it works, but how did I go about my debugging? We're going to then briefly pause and have a little retrospective into the demo, And then we're going to take a deeper dive where I'm going to explain everything that I'm clicking on, everything that I'm using, all the UI elements that are there. And I'll be able to take questions and answer anything that you're wondering about. Finally, we're going to wrap up where we're going to summarize on what we talked about. Plus, I'm going to give you little pointers to some other IntelliTrace-related functionality that I think most of you will find really interesting, but I just don't have time to demo today. So what can IntelliTrace do? Basically, while your application is running, without you having to do anything special other than just turning it on, IntelliTrace will monitor it for what it considers interesting events. So what is an interesting event? Let's take a look at some examples. This is not an exhaustive list. This is just some examples. Let's say you just started debugging, and you're accessing some files to read some configuration. And then the user clicks on the button. And then later on, you execute some SQL. And then maybe an exception gets thrown somewhere. Now, for these kind of events, IntelliTrace thinks that you might be interested in what the state of the application was when they were generated. So what it will do is, it will look at the application state when it detects them, and it will remember the call stack and some local information for this event, allowing you later on to go back in time and ask it, hey, what was the call stack when I read those configuration files, even though now you might be all the way down to the exception. So let's go straight into a demo. And I'm going to need your help here when I am debugging without IntelliTrace, because I want you to keep me honest. I'm not going to cook the demo to make it look good. So you're going to help me debug this application. I'm just going to press Start. And this is a very simple WPF text editor. It just has the ability to open a text file, make some changes, save them, and close them. So I'm going to do just that. I'm going to click Open. I'm going to select a text file. The contents really don't matter for this bug. So I'm going to scroll to the bottom. And I'm going to show you that when I make some edits, and then I'm about to save them, what happens is I lose my current context. My cursor is going to move up to the top, and so will my scroll bar. So I'm going to click on Save now, and you see that everything has been kind of reset and moved to the top. So this is the bug I want to address. Now, what would you guys do first? Not a trick question, honestly. What would you guys do first? Yeah. What I heard is we're going to take a look at the event handler for the save button, right? I mean, that's what I would definitely do. So go to the back. I'm going to put a breakpoint at the very first line, open my application, repeat my testing steps, and click Save. Now, when I give, you can read the code, right? Do you want me to make it a bit bigger? I want to give you a minute to just read through this code. If anything looks suspicious, let me know if you want to change something, because I'll just probably step through it to see if anything weird happens. .172, text file contents.focus. That looks suspicious. I agree. I've been bitten by those things a lot. So I'm just going to comment that out using edit and continue. Anything else? OK, cool. So I'm just going to quickly step through it to see if anything goes wrong, any exceptions are thrown. I don't expect anything abnormal. OK, everything looks fine. We're getting the bytes from the text box, writing them to the file. I don't see any exceptions. All right, let's see if commenting out that fixed it. I'm just going to press F5. OK, unfortunately, I've still lost my current position on the mouse cursor, and the scroll bar is back at the top. So what's next? I'm sorry? Get bytes. What about it? OK. Any other suggestions? I'm sorry? Take a look at your call stack when you're at the breakpoint. OK. Any other suggestions? Yes? Whether there's data binding. OK. So basically, at this point, we all very quickly decided, let's go take a look at the event handler of the save button. We all kind of thought that's where the problem is. It seems pretty simple. We took a look. Nothing is obvious. And now we're trying to find other ways that we can find interesting places to put a breakpoint on. So basically, what I'm hearing now is I'm going to explore the code a little bit, maybe step into a few things. I'm going to explore, basically. I'm not really sure what to do next. So let me show you how, without knowing anything more about this code, we can all together solve this bug using IntelliTrace. So I'm just going to close. And here's a quick tip for you guys. I'm going to get rid of the breakpoint because I don't need it and comment that back in. And I want to enable IntelliTrace, which you can do through tools options. But in case you guys didn't know, you can actually search for pretty much everything at the very top. And it will actually group them for you, whether it's a menu item or options. So I can very quickly go from here to enable IntelliTrace, which is under tools options IntelliTrace. Click OK, fire up the application once more. And I'm not going to do anything special here. I'm just going to repeat exactly what I did before, open up the text file, scroll to the bottom, make some edits, click Save. And now I want to inspect. I want to ask IntelliTrace, hey, what have you recorded for me? Let's take a look at that. Now, IntelliTrace lets you look at its data when the debugger has broken. And I don't have a breakpoint anywhere. I'm not particularly interested in a specific line of code. So I'm going to use the break all functionality that basically is the equivalent of every thread hitting a breakpoint exactly where it is. So I'll do that. And what Visual Studio is telling me is that, hey, we've broken in a place where you don't have any of your code, so I'm not going to show you any code, but I don't care because the reason I used that was to look at IntelliTrace. So I'm going to look at this diagnostics tools window. This is the list of every event that IntelliTrace has collected for me. So I'm just going to read through it. I see up here that there is a clicked open event. That's me clicking the open button. Then there is a file access and a file close. That makes sense because when you read a file, you first open it, then you read the contents, and then you close it. Then I see a clicked save event. That's me making the changes and then clicking save. And then I see a file access, file close, file access, and file close event. And this is suspicious. I don't quite understand why, after I save the file, I would open, save it, close it, and then open it again and close it again. So at this point, I already have a better idea of what is going on. And this actually kind of makes sense. If I'm reopening the file after I save it, it could explain why everything kind of gets reset and everything moves up to the top. But if we're being honest, if you have a good logging framework, and you don't mind scrolling through text files, and you don't mind not having this cool integrated experience, you can get similar information from things like Log4Net. But what you can get is the very next step. What we're all wondering right now is, why do we have two pairs of access and close? Like, why were they called twice? So what I can do with IntelliTrace that I couldn't do with the logging tool is I can just click on this event that looks interesting to me, which is the first file access after I click save, and then click on Activate Historical Debugging. Now, what happens now is the entire IDE is set into historical debugging mode. As you can see at the very top, within brackets, it says historical debugging. The text editor is showing me the line of code that was executed when that event was generated. So it's telling me that I was in the Save File button event handler, and this is exactly the code that we stepped through before. So this looks normal. Now what I want to do is take a look at the rest of them. This close one is probably going to be the end of the using statement, but why don't I make sure? Okay, yep. The editor has shown me that the event was generated by the end of the using statement. But now what I really want to find out is what is the second file access all about. So I'm going to select that one and activate historical debugging. Now my text editor has moved me to the read file method. And that makes no sense. I have no idea why read file is called after save. So what I'm curious now is who called read file. Now, there's an info bar up here letting me know that the IDE is in historical debugging, and there are some debugger windows that are participating in this experience. So if I click on call stack, I see that the call stack window says also historical debugging in brackets. That means that this window is actually showing me the call stack as it was at that moment in time. So what I can tell here from the call stack is that read file is called by open file. Again, this doesn't help me because I'm not really sure who will be calling open file after save. I see that open file is called from on file changed, and that from on file changed is called from this anonymous method. Now, this anonymous method is actually the event handler of the file system watcher. As it turns out, the root cause of the bug is not the save functionality. It's actually a different piece of functionality that allows users to edit the same document. Basically, if I have a document open and somebody else opens the same document and makes changes, the application detects that and then shows me a warning telling me if I save right now, I'm going to overwrite somebody else's. But it looks like we have a bug, and when I save my own changes, I tell myself to reload myself. So like any good demo, the bug can be fixed just by uncommenting something. So here's where my bug was on my on file change event handler. I'm just going to click continue. And when the application continues, scroll to the bottom, make my changes, and click save. So my bug is fixed. So thank you. Now, to fully appreciate what IntelliTrace has to offer me here, think about your typical debugging routine. As soon as you see a bug, your first thought is, where am I going to put that breakpoint that is close enough to the root cause of the bug of what I just saw, but it hasn't gone over it? And we're going to make our best guess, test it by repeating our testing steps. We're probably not going to get it the very first time around, so we're going to step through code, maybe get a better idea, put another breakpoint, and we're going to keep going through this loop until we get close enough to finally figure out the changes we want to make. So the idea is that you spend a lot of time trying to find the bug, and that's not valuable. What's actually valuable is fixing it. So what you want is to get to the root cause as fast as possible. Now, with IntelliTrace, when you see a bug, your first thought should be, I don't care about breakpoints yet. Let's see what IntelliTrace has recorded. Hopefully, it's actually going to lead me to the root cause of the bug like it did in this example. But even if it doesn't, even if the bug is hiding in between those interesting events, I'm still going to get a better idea of what's going on. And I'm probably going to be able to eliminate some of my hypotheses, some of my possible scenarios. And I will probably be able to place the breakpoint later on with a much better accuracy to get to the root cause much quicker. So that was just a very quick demonstration. Now we're going to do the deep dive. Go ahead. I'm sorry, I didn't quite understand the question.
Can you put in a LAMP code that actually generates an event?
Can I put some code that generates an event? Let me answer that question a bit later on. The short answer is you cannot do it through code, but there's other ways you can do it. And let me answer that question after we complete this demo. It flows better. So let me close. So now we're going to work on a different application. This is an actual application. It's kind of old school because I got it from CodePlex. I didn't want to cook something up. I wanted to actually use a real application. So it's a WinForms application that uses a database to maintain a list of social club members. Basically, you can register new members and then search for them. So I'm going to do just that. I'm going to register myself by filling in just the required fields. That's not my real birthday, by the way. So you guys know. Engineer, married, and let's be honest, I could lose some weight. We're going to register. The application is registering me. I can see down here the registration was successful. And the bug that I've been asked to fix is that the get all search functionality is behaving kind of erratically. I'm told that sometimes it returns records that nobody ever entered. So let's take a look what will happen now. So I clicked get all, and I got one record, which is the one that I actually inserted that looks like the right data. Then I have another record where it has some fields are empty, some have default values. I definitely didn't enter that one. So I'm not really sure what this result is or where it's coming from. Now, at this point, I'm thinking either there's something wrong when I registered the member in the first time, or there's something wrong with the way I'm retrieving the results and I'm creating invalid records. So the application actually has one more type of search functionality. It has the ability to search by occupation and marital status. So I think what I want to do is I want to search for this record that has all the unknowns, and I want to see if that actually returns. Because if it returns, then maybe it's a real record in the database. So I clicked search, searching for unknown and unknown, and now I'm really confused because what I go back is the first record, and I really have no idea what's going on. If I was to debug this application, I really don't know where to start. Maybe I'll put an event handler on the get all, sorry, a breakpoint on the event handler of get all. Maybe I'll look at the register. I'm really very uncomfortable placing a breakpoint right now. So instead, what I'm going to do is I'm going to hit break all, just like before. And we're going to talk more about this diagnostics tools window and IntelliTrace. So you saw me use this list of events down here, and I think that's pretty straightforward. Every event that IntelliTrace records is in this list. But what I didn't talk about is what's all of this up here. So up here, I can see my diagnostic session counting down. And because I'm currently in the break state, it has paused. So basically, this window records your application while it's executing. But while you're taking your time to debug, it's pausing. And it's waiting for you to do your stuff. Then, right below it, there is this debugger events timeline, as we call it. This is exactly the same data that is listed here, exactly the same events, are actually shown in a graphical view here as events over time, so you can see how they relate to each other. Now, we're breaking up this one list into three timeline tracks. The first one is break events. So every time you hit a breakpoint or you take a step, you're going to see an event here. And because I just hit the break all button on the 102 seconds into the into my debugging session, it has created a break event for me for the whole duration. Next, in the next track, I see output events. This is typically anything that would go to the output window. IntelliTrace records and brings into this view. So if you use the output window to look at your modules loading or your threads exiting, these kind of events are here. And finally, we have every other event that is recorded and is in the table appears in the final track. Now, if you look at these last two tracks and you squint really, really hard, like so hard that you can see a little bit into the future, you might actually see them being as one track. Just saying. Anyway, so I really have no idea where to start. So I'm going to try and use the timeline to orient myself. I'm going to hover over the very first event that IntelliTrace has collected for me in the IntelliTrace track. And I see that's the gesture of me clicking the login button. That makes sense. I'm going to scroll over. I'm going to move my mouse over to the next event. And that's the gesture of me clicking the register button. Then I can see there's a cluster of events here. There's a big space. And then there's another event, which is me clicking the get all. Now, I'm not really sure where the bug is, where it's at the beginning or the end. So I'm going to take it one step at a time. I'm going to drag, left click, and drag with my mouse to select the time around this cluster of events that seems to be related with me clicking the register button. So I'm going to select them. And I'm going to right click and say zoom to selection. Now, this did two things for me. First of all, it zoomed in a little bit, so I can see all of those events that were cramped in a little bit more spaced out. And at the same time, what it did is filter my table view underneath here to just that time range. So I'm no longer dealing with every event that was recorded. I'm now only dealing with the events that happened when I clicked register. Now, just looking at this list of events, I immediately spot a couple of insert statements right at the bottom. And they seem to be both inserting to the same table. So that's not something that I expect. So if I click on the very first one, I actually get to see the SQL that was executed by my application. It looks like an insert statement into club members. It has a bunch of parameters. OK. I'm then going to scroll down and look at the second one, which seems very similar. This, again, is also doing an insert into club members. I see there is some differences in the parameters there, and I see some nulls, so that's very suspicious. So I'm pretty sure what's happening is when I registered the first time, it actually inserted two records in the database, and the search is returning the real results. So my next question is, why? Why is this happening twice? So I'm going to click on the very first event, the very first insert statement, and I activate historical debugging again. I see that I'm in the create method. Seems normal. I'm going to look at the call stack. I see that the create is called from register member. OK, that seems normal. And register member is called by register underscore click. I see no issues with that. I'm going to move on to the other insert statement. Activate historical debugging on that one. And I'm taken back to the same create method. OK, let's look at the call stack for this one. This time, create is called again by register member. So everything is the same so far. But then I see that register member is called by button register underscore mouse click. So this is just a really silly bug. I basically have two event handlers for the same button. I forgot that I already had it, so I had it twice. So the bug is as simple as that. Any questions so far? Yes? So the question is whether the events that we're seeing here that are SQL are because we're using a.NET, and the answer is yes. Any other questions?
So the retrieve was also broken?
So I definitely have at least one bug, right? I can then fix it, go back, and test out my search again, and see if there's another bug there. Any other questions? All right, pretty straightforward. I'll keep going. So what I want to show you next is, oh, actually, let me stop debugging first. What I'll show you next is how you can solve some common problems using IntelliTrace. You saw how it can be helpful during general debugging, but I want to show you some other things as well, some specific scenarios where you, when you see that scenario, your mind immediately goes, okay, I'm going to use IntelliTrace to sort this out. So I don't know how many of you here do async code. You use the new async functionality to fire off work on a different thread and then use await to do very quick multi-threading on your application. But one of the very most common big issues is that when your asynchronous code throws an exception, it actually breaks Visual Studio on the await, not where the exception was thrown. And let me show you what I mean by that. I'm just going to click start. And this is a very simple WEF application that has only one button. I'm going to click it. And somewhere I'm throwing an exception. And Visual Studio very kindly breaks execution for me because it's not handled by anyone. And tells me that whatever you're doing underneath manage something is throwing an exception. But I don't actually know where it is. Okay, my first instinct is, well, let's look inside here. What the hell is going on here? Okay, well, there is no exception being thrown here. So I kind of have to keep digging. And the more complex your async code is, the more of a pain it is to find this. So what if I told you that if you just go to IntelliTrace and click on the event that says exception thrown and click activate historical debugging, it takes you exactly to the line of code that's written. So there's no guesswork, there's no looking for code, there's no understanding how things are parallelizable. You just go to the list, click activate historical debugging, you're there. Woo-hoo. Cool. Now, I said before that you can be more efficient while you're debugging a bug, but you can also be more efficient because you can fix a bug before someone files it. Now, what did I mean by that? Let's say that I'm working on an application, like the one I'm about to show you now, which is a very simple client-server application, ASP.NET, and it's basically a contact manager. You can add contacts, edit the details, and remove them. So I'm going to do just that. I'm going to add a brand new contact. I'm going to click save again. I'm going to click remove, remove, save, remove. Everything seems to work just fine. So let's say that for whatever reason, I broke into my editor at some point in time. I wasn't looking for a bug. I just hit a breakpoint or I'm writing some code. And immediately what catches my eye on the IntelliTrace timeline is a red thing. What is this red thing? I'm just going to highlight it. Filter time. The list below that has been filtered to the time where this red event happened tells me there's an exception thrown. Well, I didn't get any warning. It didn't seem to be any problem in the application. If I click activate historical debugging, what I actually see is when you try to insert two contacts with the same email address, the insert actually fails, but I never got any notification in the UI. So when somebody actually runs into this bug, they're not going to tell me that when I try to enter two contacts with the same email address, I have a problem. What they're going to tell me is, hey, sometimes my records don't save. And then we're going to start being like, well, I don't know. Well, okay, what's your repro steps? He goes, well, I don't know. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. It's just because it's a swallowed exception, and I have no idea where it is. So when we have this type of problem, there's two parts to the fix. The first part is, let's make sure the exception is thrown for legitimate reasons. Like, should I really be throwing an exception in this case? Maybe yes, maybe not. Maybe I'll fix that. The second part, which is a little bit harder, is figuring out why was it swollen? Why didn't I get an error on my UI? So if you had to solve this problem right now, what would you do to find where this exception was handled? Because there's no try-catch here. Any ideas? Look at the call stack. The call stack at the throw is going to say, I'm right there. I'm talking about the cats. I'm talking about where was it handled. Put a breakpoint where? Thank you, whoever said what about the code event. So the answer is I was trying basically to tell, I was trying to get you to tell me, I have to look at the code. Like, I have to see what is calling this method so I can see if there's any try cuts above it. Because if you put a breakpoint at this point, you're only going to get the call stack up to now. You're not going to know where it was handled, right? So if you go to IntelliTrace window, you click on the exception code event, click activate historical debugging, and it tells you that all the way up the framework stack where we do the post, we're catching exceptions because we think the only reason we will ever fail is because of concurrency, but that's not true. So this is how I can quickly get to where my event, my exception handling is happening, and I can very quickly fix it. Any questions? Yes? Sure, absolutely. Yeah. So the question was, if I have a global exception handler in something like global.asax, and that's where all of my exceptions are being logged and handled and logged, will I be able to use this for that? And the answer is yes, absolutely. Yes, please. Yes. So the comment was that Visual Studio actually has a pretty cool piece of functionality, and I'll show it to you right now. If you go to debug exception settings, you're going to see a dialog that we actually only recently revamped in 2015, and it shows you all of the exceptions. Well, it's a list of most of the most common exception types, and what you can do is you can say for a particular exception, or even for all of them, I want Visual Studio to break as soon as it happens. Don't wait to see if it gets handled or unhandled. I want you to break immediately. Now, that's a great piece of functionality, and it's very useful, but it's kind of hard to work with in two different scenarios. One is you first have to kind of know the type of the exception, so you have to know it's an argument null exception or something like that. And the other problem is, even if you know the exception and you set it up, if your application is throwing that type of exception in other places and it's okay, you're gonna keep hitting those breakpoints. You'll be like, well, I don't care about those. I wanna get to the one that is actually a problem. So you might actually get this being hit many, many times. Whereas with IntelliTrace, what will happen is you're gonna record all of them and then you can just go back and find the most appropriate one. Any more questions? Okay, pretty good. Moving on. So let's talk about the few things that we've covered so far. So those of you who have seen IntelliTrace and used IntelliTrace before, you will have noticed by now that the old UI is all gone. It used to be a flat list on the right-hand side of solution at the same space as Solution Explorer, and it was a flat list with no timeline. But now it has been integrated into Diagnostics Tools. Diagnostics Tools is actually a new window in 2015, and it's the house for not just IntelliTrace, but also the CPU and the memory tool. So if you guys have a chance later on, you should definitely look for the session that myself and Andrew Hall gave yesterday that talks about the other tools that are part of this window. And you should also look out for the blog posts that explain how you can use this Diagnostics Tools window to keep an eye on your application, not just as it's behaving in terms of correctness, but also how it's performing. Now, we looked at how using IntelliTrace, you can really accelerate your debugging experience. Basically, you're gonna spend less time looking for the bug, and you're gonna actually be able to find the bug quicker. And we also saw that if you're just doing your normal debugging and just keeping an eye out for what is happening, you can actually uncover unexpected behavior. In this example, it was just an exception. It was pretty easy to spot. But you can uncover other behavior. Like, for example, it may be executing too many SQL statements when you don't expect it to. Or it may be accessing too many files. Now, there's a whole bunch of stuff that IntelliTrace can do that I don't have the time to demo for you right now. But I want to tell you a bit about it so that if it sounds interesting to you, you can go and look it up. We have blog posts and videos for all of this. The first thing is, you might be wondering, how can I make use of IntelliTrace if I can't have Visual Studio on that machine? Many times I have issues in production or a testing environment that when I try to reproduce on my local machine, I just can't get it to happen. So the answer is that there's a There's a way that you can record your application's execution using IntelliTrace, even if you don't have Visual Studio recorded on that machine. And it's actually very simple. You can just search online for the IntelliTrace standalone collector. It is a download from Microsoft.com. Or you can go to the installation folder of Visual Studio, and you will find a cab file that is the IntelliTrace standalone collector. That's just a zip file. You extract that zip file without any installation on your server. So your admins should be perfectly happy. There's no installation. You're not messing around with the server state. And then you use PowerShell to tell it, hey, please start monitoring this application pool if it's an ASP.NET website. Or please start monitoring or execute and monitor this application if it's an X or something like that. So then the users can use the application in production. IntelliTrace is recording all those interesting events. And when you have finally seen the bug reproduce, you can then use PowerShell again to stop collection. And IntelliTrace collector is going to save all the data it has collected into an iTrace file. So let me very quickly show you what that looks like. If I go back to my demo, and because I have left over the debugging session from just before, what I can do is I can simulate the collector having done this for me by just going to Tools, Debug, IntelliTrace, Save IntelliTrace Session. This is going to save it as an iTrace file, if you notice the extension of the file here. This is exactly the same file format that my standalone collector would use if I was doing this in production. So I'm just going to save this. I'm going to stop debugging. And when the standalone collector in production has saved the file, you copy it back to your development machine where you have Visual Studio, and you just say File, Open, File, go to the desktop, find the iTrace file, and you click Open. What happens is, just like with dump debugging, we show you a quick summary file. We give you some very quick and useful summary information, what machine was using this, were there any exceptions being thrown. You can then click on any exception or any other information that is useful and start debugging it from there. So a debug session is going to start, and you're going to see the familiar UI that you saw before. The only difference now is we don't have a timeline in this scenario. So we don't have breakpoints, and we don't have an output window. So we don't have a timeline. We just have the flat list. But from here, I can then go and activate Historical Debugging, just like I would before. Cool. Awesome, thank you. Now, if you're thinking to yourselves, well, this is really useful when I'm running a whole bunch of tests, it would be really helpful if when I run the test and there was an issue with the test because it failed, and I want to report it back to the developer, it would be great if I could just give the developer an iTrace file of what I just did. So if that sounds like an experience that you're interested in, take a look at the integration of IntelliTrace with Microsoft Test Manager. Imagine that you've used Test Manager to start your test. You go through all your steps. The test fails. Then a TFS bug item is created. The iTrace file is automatically attached to it. And when the bug is assigned to the developer just has to click on the iTrace file, and it's the same as opening the iTrace file I just showed you a minute ago. Now, another bit of functionality that is interesting is integration of IntelliTrace with the Microsoft Monitoring Agent. So imagine that you have your application running, and you want to just monitor it. You want to see how it's behaving without having specific issues. And when something goes wrong, you get an iTrace file back that you can open up in Visual Studio just like you did before. If that sounds interesting, take a look at that integration. Or you can come and talk to me right after the session, and we can talk a bit more about it. Any questions so far? Yes, please. So the question is, go ahead. Yes. So there were actually three questions there.
Yeah.
First question is, do I need to start IntelliTrace before I start my application to make sure I can collect from it, or can I start my application and then later on go and attach to it? And the answer is yes, you can do both. For example, if you have an application that is running in production, you don't have to stop it. You can just fire up PowerShell and say start monitoring this application pool, and your application is not going to stop working or crash for anybody. And the same goes if you're using Visual Studio. You can just attach to a process that has already been started. The second part of the question was, is there an issue with the sizing? Is that, am I remembering correctly? So the second part of the question was, if I have a system that is generating a whole bunch of events, what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to just let it run and fill up the hard disk? Are there any issues or performance issues or other issues with IntelliTrace, any limitations? The answer is, there's ways to configure IntelliTrace to work with the way your application works. And why can't I give you just a straight answer? Because it really depends what your code does, right? If your code executes 10 SQL statements a second, and you let it run for an hour, that's a lot of events comparing to an application that just accesses a file every now and then. So it really depends on what your application does, especially in comparison to how what IntelliTrace considers interesting. So there's two ways that you can calibrate IntelliTrace to make sure that you get the right experience and it doesn't, you know, fill up the hard disk or kill the performance. The first choice that you have is if you go to Tools, Options. Oh, yeah, thank you. Back to the code. Tools, Options, IntelliTrace Events. This is the definite list of everything that IntelliTrace considers interesting. And you will notice that some of them are checked, some of them are partially checked, and some of them are completely unchecked. So basically, we've taken a stab at what's the most common stuff that people are interested in. But if you know your application well, and you know exactly what you're interested in, you can customize this any way you want. So if you know that your application creates a whole bunch of, let's say, file access events, but you never really have any issues with that, you can just uncheck that. And that means that even though the application might be generating a whole ton of them, they're not going to get saved by IntelliTrace. Now, the other way that you can optimize the experience is you can say, how much disk space should my iTrace file take up? This setting here in Visual Studio is for when you have five, but the standalone collector has a similar feature where it allows you to say, I want the file to never exceed, let's say, 300 megabytes. So if IntelliTrace records information that is about to exceed that limit, it's going to basically use it as a rolling buffer. It's going to go back to the beginning and start writing over it. So effectively, what you have is the last number of events that happened. So this way, you can say, don't capture absolutely everything, just capture the last big chunk of what has happened. And I'm sorry, but I forgot the last part of that. Oh, the PDBs. So you need PDBs to actually get to the code when you're debugging. And you should really always generate PDBs, even in release mode. But PDB. It's the Greek plus UK plus American accent. It's all working great. Any other questions? Yes, please.
So when we're doing this with Datadops right now, we use a combination of Perfmon, Procmon, IntelliTrace for Windows, logging, private Windows events, public Windows events, all this stuff. There's a ton of stuff in there. Does some of that integrate with this? This is only managed code?
This is only managed code for now. But if you want to see this in C++, let us know exactly what you want to see for C++. I'm gonna show you a slide how you can let us know what features you like and what features you want. And just give me a sec, because I finally want to answer a question I kind of dodged earlier. If you give me 1 second, somebody before asked me, can I have my own custom events? So one quick way to add more state to your application is, have you guys seen the new way to edit breakpoints? You can either use this floating toolbar, or you can right-click and say actions and conditions. So the cool thing is that even though this is functionality that was there before, now it's much easier to discover, you can create a breakpoint that, as an action, it outputs something to the output window, and then it continues execution. So it doesn't actually break. It will hit the line of code, execute the write the message, and then keep going. So I can write three types of messages here. I can just write normal text. Sorry, I didn't mean to do that. And if I put the dollar sign down, I get an IntelliSense list of my pseudo variables that are available. So I can say, this is my caller. And then I can use curly braces to access code, to access real variables. So if I want to add some state to IntelliTrace that is not going to be captured automatically, I can create a little trace point. I can say, hey, give me whatever is in contract. Sorry, keyboard is not so great. Dot get type, for example. And it's not contact, it's contract. Let's see if I can get IntelliSense to work. Yeah, just wanted to prove that IntelliSense works. So now what's going to happen is if I close this and I run this code, if it hits through this line of code, the message is going to be outputted to the output window. And if you remember what I said before, IntelliTrace records whatever is in the output window. So you're going to get a cute little purple icon on your timeline that basically is telling you this is a custom thing that you added that I'm collecting for you, and I didn't collect it automatically. Yes, please. Next. Will this work for Windows services? The answer is yes. The short answer. The longer answer is it's a bit tougher than just clicking. So come and talk to me right after, and I can guide you to a blog post that explains how to do that. But the short answer is yes, you can use the standalone collector for Windows services. Sorry, there was a guy that I didn't have him answer before. The question is, there used to be a limitation on the number of IntelliTrace files.
It would stop at like 20, and you had to reset it so we continue writing.
That sounds like a bug to me. I'm not aware of that limitation. I would like to talk to you afterwards, if you don't mind, to get the details of that.
It was removed in 2010 SP1.
Oh, it's so old. I wasn't even at Microsoft at that point. I'm sorry. I didn't even know about that. But I'm glad that you've been using it since 2010. I'm going to get your contact details right there. Anybody else? Yes.
Does all of this work with the remote detached debugger as well?
Does all of this work with remote debugger? Not right now. I'm sorry, it's really hard to see. The lights are killing me. Is there a performance hit? So that's a great question. Does having an IntelliTrace enabled cause a performance hit? The short answer is yes. There is some debugging overhead because what IntelliTrace is doing is it's recording state as the application is running. So it has to take a little bit of time to do that. Now, the more elaborate answer is, well, how much? So like I said before, it really, really depends on what your application is doing. If your application is generating events that IntelliTrace considers interesting all the time, you're going to see a much larger overhead than when it is doing a lot less. Now, as a rule of thumb, with the default settings, we think from our testing that the overhead it's almost not perceivable. It's almost negligible. The overhead gets larger the more work your application is doing and the more events that you enable under the tools options. Any more questions? Yes, hello. Yes.
To do the
yes. Can you have a trace point?
Yeah.
The answer is not right now, but we are working on that. Yes, please. So the question was, have we made any improvements with instrumentation in IntelliTrace? So have we made any improvements in the collection? The short answer is yes, we have made some improvements. The more elaborate answer is, in this release, we focused mainly on the experience and the integration. So we didn't go back and change the existing collection, but we actually augmented the collection. So as you saw, we collect output events, we collect breakpoints. So we added collection technologies, but we haven't gone and changed the existing ones. Any more questions? Yes, please.
Is there any tracing for Windows that can be hooked into here?
So the question is there any tracing for Windows that can be integrated with IntelliTrace? like EDW? That's a great question, and it has been requested by quite a few people. We're looking into it right now, but it doesn't do it yet. And actually, I would be very curious to find out exactly how you'd like that to work, exactly how you would imagine that to work. So we should have a chat right after this. Any more? OK. All right. I don't think there's any questions, right? OK, let's move on. So here's, I know that people will kind of ignore this slide, but here's a little secret that not many people know. Why do I keep doing that? Thank you. So here's something that not many people know. Look at the very last bullet point there that talks about using the send a smile functionality that is on the top right corner of Visual Studio. If you use that functionality and you send a smile and you put the right kind of keywords in there, for example, if you say IntelliTrace did this, that comes to me. If you say the debugger did this, that goes to the debugger PM. So every single bit of feedback that you give us, either positive or negative, gets read, not by some random person, but the product team. So your feedback is invaluable. I know that when you see a bug, you will probably report it and get it fixed. But what's actually even more valuable for us is if we know what you guys enjoy using, what out of the 10 features you actually enjoy, like the 3 out of the 10 that you like. Because when the next version comes and we have to decide what should we keep, what works great, what needs improvement, we need that data to make that decision. The other thing that I want you to know is that we definitely always take a look at user voice. User voice is a website where you can go and make a suggestion, and people can vote for your suggestion, or you can vote for other people's suggestion. Now, you might be wondering, why don't I just go and vote for everything? You have limited votes, so you have to actually care about what you're voting for. And when the time comes for us to decide what should we work on next, we always look at that. And if we're between two items, and one of them has 3,000 votes and the other one has 100, we were probably going to do the 3,000 one. So your feedback is invaluable. And if you want to keep up to date with anything that happens within the Visual Studio diagnostic space, we always, always, always blog about it, whether it's a simple feature improvement or a brand new feature. So if you go to our diagnostics blog and you subscribe to that, you will always be up to date with everything that comes out of the diagnostics department. All right. Any questions now? Another one. So the question is, does IntelliTrace integrate with Application Insights? Because Application Insights is a service that you can use that will monitor your application, and then when something goes wrong, you can take action. The answer is, we don't have a very good integration story right now, but we're definitely looking at that. And if you don't mind talking to me afterwards to kind of help me understand how you would see that working, that would be great. Yes? The remote, sorry? Yes? Oh, I'm not really sure I understood the question.
So, the iTrace file that gets generated on the server, can we set it as an IP log file generated? Like, every day there's one file generated, and then suddenly a user goes, like, oh, by the way, 2 days back I had this issue. Can you take a look at it?
So, I think the question is, can you kind of, when IntelliTrace is running in production, can you keep a history of the files? Like, this is what happened on Monday, this is what happened on Tuesday and Wednesday. The answer is that there's no functionality to let you do that automatically right now, because the only way you can actually generate the iTrace file is if you stop collection. So you start the collection, you're collecting, and then when you stop, you actually get the iTrace file back. Now, that's an interesting feature request, though, so. No, the entire thing is not in memory. Correct. So the question was, while the standalone collector is running and is collecting data, is everything being kept in memory? And the answer is no, it's not everything has been kept in memory. We wouldn't do that because then that would affect the production system in terms of memory consumption.
So can you script the start-stop copy the file thing?
Absolutely, you could script it. But if that's something that you guys think is valuable and useful, I would love it if you come and talk to me and explain to me what kind of scenario you're talking about here. Why would that functionality be used for? Any more questions? Yes, please. Can I explain why this is only the enterprise queue? Here's another little secret that I hate answering questions that are, when is thing gonna be RTM? Because the answer I give makes me feel like I'm lying, because I say I don't know. Now, here's the reality. The product teams make no decisions when it comes to releases and SKUs. So the reason for that is because Microsoft has many products, and they kind of need to coordinate, and they need to decide how they're gonna sell and what they're gonna sell and how it's gonna coordinate with other releases. So it's typically the marketing department that makes those kind of decisions. So the honest answer is, I don't know. If you ask any PM at Microsoft, they would love to have their feature in community. We would love to give it away for free. We would love for all of you to use it, because it's our baby. But if you go to user voice and you say, give me IntelliTrace in VS Pro, and 5,000 people vote, maybe I can make it happen. Times how many computers we have, times how many accounts we can create, we can make it happen. Any more questions? Yes, please.
For an application that's mixed native and managed, how would IntelliTrace work with that?
So what kind of application are you having in mind? Like com interop or?
C++ CLI interop between native and managed.
So if you're in the F5 scenario inside of Visual Studio, and if you're using the managed debugger, then IntelliTrace will work for that part. It's not going to be able to record anything for C++, unfortunately. Yeah. Any more questions? All right. Well, thank you all very much for your time. Thank you. Hope to see you next year.